It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. Last week, I aired the Ship Report's annual show honoring the mariners aboard the lost iron ore ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald. Some years when I air that tribute, I hear from people who lived in the Great Lakes region at that time, and they always express great sadness at the memory of this ship and the disaster that took her from us. This year, I'd like to add a bit more to that story and share an interview I did with a person who now lives in our area here on the coast, but was living in the Great Lakes region and working there at the time. He's KMUN front desk volunteer Reed Johnson, who is now retired from the U.S. Coast Guard. Reed was 19 at the time the Fitzgerald went down and was serving as a deckhand aboard a Coast Guard cutter stationed in Lake Huron, one of the Great Lakes. He said everyone truly did know the Fitz and noticed her when she was around.
I guess one of the things to me that was so amazing is that we would see that ship go by on its way to Detroit. And it was so huge that they would say over the intercom, if you want to see the Fitzgerald, come on deck. And everybody would go up on deck and just to watch it go by because it was so huge. And it was just amazing. It was launched in 1958. And at that time, it was the largest ship on the Great Lakes at that time.
The Fitzgerald was big. Almost 800 feet long. For comparison, that's as big as the largest bulk carriers that come into the Columbia. Reed said for him and his crewmates, the loss of the ship was a shock, partly because it just seemed so abrupt.
Because of the fact that it sank so fast and there weren't any survivors, and there was no real trace of the ship, and nobody really knew at that time what happened either. There was a ship called the Anderson that was following the Fitzgerald at the same time. They both went through the same storm, and the captain of the Fitzgerald was in contact with the captain of the Anderson. And so the ship, the Anderson, was trying to, you know, they're trying to help each other. But something happened, and they lost contact with each other. And the Anderson was instructed to turn around and look for any survivors or look for anything, because they took the Coast Guard a long time to respond because it was so far away. And I mean, the ship that came out of Duluth, Minnesota, took probably 5 hours to get to the site. And they did send out a fixed wing airplane and a helicopter, and with big strobe light or big lights on it, but there was nothing to see.
It might be hard to imagine how a ship could sink so quickly. It might help to understand that the Fitz was carrying heavy, dense iron ore pellets. Bulk carriers like that, which are carrying these heavy, dense cargoes with not much trapped air, can sink much more rapidly than other kinds of ships when something goes wrong. Since no distress call was sent, the assumption has always been that she sank very quickly. One of the things that I've always been struck by is how deeply people were affected by the loss of this ship. Here's another clip from my interview with Reed. You know, I posted the podcast of the show that I do every year on the Ship Report. I posted it on Facebook, and a guy who lived in Wisconsin made a really interesting comment, and I wanted to ask you about it. He said that losing the Edmund Fitzgerald created what he thought was a regional depression over the whole area. And I wondered if you could tell me what you think of that.
I would agree. I mean, it was just everybody on our ship was just shocked. I mean, you know, it was a really sad thing. So, and it lasted for a while, you know.
One thing that Reed and I discussed after our interview was how haunting it can be to be on one vessel listening to the demise of another. Ships can hear one another's radio transmissions. That can lead to some confusing emotions when fellow mariners are lost at sea. Oregon poet Clem Stark, who you may have seen perform at Fisher Poets, expresses this so well in his poem, The Pan-Oceanic Faith, about his experience being at sea, aware that a sister ship was sinking and unable to help. Here's Clem Stark from Fisher Poets a few years back.
people sometimes ask me how long I spend writing a poem. This is a poem that, in all seriousness, took me 30 years to write. It's a true story, a story of an event that happened on one of the trips I made to sea. It was left such a vivid impression on me that I wanted to write about it. But it took me a long time, even though I had the first line for years and years and years. So finally, many, many years later, I wrote this poem. The title of the poem is the name of a ship. And there's some nautical lingo in here. I sailed with the Seafarers International Union, the SIU. Mention in the poem of Conrad, that's Joseph Conrad, the great writer of sea stories. So this is a story, the pan-oceanic faith. The night the pan-oceanic faith went down in a storm in the North Pacific, we were 100 miles north of her, another freighter plowing through stormy seas. As it turned out, she was a sister ship, SIU, like us. Two of our crew had boarded her in Seattle months earlier. But something about her spooked them, and before she sailed, they signed off. The sea that night was wild, green water breaking over our bow. I had just been relieved at the wheel when Sparks stepped into the wheelhouse to report to the mate that he'd picked up an SOS. When Conrad wrote, "The sea came at us like a madman with an axe," he had it right. 10,000 tons of welded steel plate, buckled and smashed by water. Three survivors out of a crew of 42, a messman, the chief engineer, and one AB. Why those three, we wondered, all the rest of the way in to Newport, Oregon, and looked around uneasily, weighing our chances, sizing each other up.
And that was Clem Stark from a recording made by KMUN at the Fisher Poets Gathering in Astoria. A little more about the pan-oceanic faith. There's a Coast Guard report online about her. She sank on October 9th, 1967. The report is titled SS Pan-Oceanic Faith, Foundering with Loss of Life, North Pacific Ocean. The report says the loss of this ship resulted in more fatalities than any other single accident to inspected cargo ships in the previous decade. She was carrying aluminum sulfate, and the cause of her sinking was the failure of the number one hatch near the bow of the ship. Of the few who survived in the 50-degree water, one was rescued the night of the sinking because he was able to attract attention with a flashlight he fortunately had in his pocket. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.